Good afternoon. It is 12:33. You're listening to PMC Live, our call-in show with local officials from the Petersburg Medical Center. I'm Taylor Heckert, and joining us today in Studio One, we have PMC CEO Phil Hofstetter.
Hello.
We have Community Wellness and Public Relations Manager Julie Walker.
Oh.
And we have Youth Programs Development and Advocacy Coordinator Katie Homeland.
Hi.
Welcome all. Thank you for being here. If you're listening and you have a question, you can call our station 907-772-3808. No one's taken me up on that yet, but I have a lot of faith. Let's talk about all sorts of PMC programs. So Katie, we have you here to talk about what KinderSCOG is up to.
Yeah, we have some fun things happening this spring. Currently, our Scoggy is in between building snowmen right now, are doing their Trash for Cash fundraiser, which is our first year doing this fundraiser. The kids are super into it, though. So they are filling garbage bags with litter as we are out and about on our adventures and hoping to find community members to sponsor our litter-getting effort. So far, we have collected 10 bags of litter, plus one laundry hamper, which itself was litter, and Scoggy's filled that with more litter. So we're doing a really good job, I think. We just started in February, at the beginning of February, so 10 garbage bags full already, plus that one laundry hamper.
Wow, so this is just concurrent as you guys are walking around doing what you do, just happening to pick up trash as well.
The Scoggies always love a good litter-getting effort, and so we were already kind of doing it anyway, and like, we need a fundraiser to help with scholarships and reducing some barriers to entry to the program, and one of our staff members suggested doing like a sponsorship for the litter bags, and yeah, the kids are way into it.
Nice. And I know the pilot did a story on this, and I peeked at it. I saw there is a prize for who there gets the most litter.
Yeah. Well, whatever Scoggy gets the most sponsors, we have a very special top secret litter getting prize that they will be awarded, which I think they're going to be very excited about.
Nice. So how much longer then are the Scoggies doing this?
We have a goal to do this throughout the end of May, so the rest of our session. We're asking for all of our sponsors, our first round of sponsors, to be in by this Friday. We'll probably open up another round of sponsorships after that, but we're committed to doing this for the rest of the spring. The kids had a goal of 50 garbage bags by the end of May, which honestly, after Mayfest, we could probably fill all 50 after that, so I think we're going to more than exceed that goal.
And what is the cost if someone wants to sponsor a bag?
We have a suggested donation of $20 per bag, but kind of leaving it open for people to choose their level of sponsorship as well.
And I'm curious, where have you been finding the most trash?
Oh, it's literally everywhere. I think walking anywhere along the school has a lot of litter, and obviously up by the ball fields, the wind just catches it. You know, the fences catch it on windy days. But yeah, around town, there's a lot of litter around. And so I'm glad our kids are always into helping to pick it up. They all have little litter getters and work really well together as a team to make sure that they're leaving places better than we found them.
I love that. It's always a delight seeing the Scoggies out and about, and knowing that they're picking up trash, I think, makes it even more delightful.
And they love trying to find the weirdest trash possible. We had one Scoggy that found a pair of dentures at one point.
Oh.
And I think they're real teeth. They're like vintage dentures. They're on our treasure shelf now. But really weird litter to be found at times. So including, like, they found like teddy bears before, and you know, just sometimes really bizarre litter out and about.
I like to imagine maybe someone is tuning into the radio right now and realizing that you guys have found their dentures that perhaps they have lost.
We have them on our shelf. Come claim them.
Well, that sounds like an awesome program, Katie. Are we missing anything else that folks should know about the fundraiser?
I don't think so.
Okay. And I know you're looking ahead toward the summer, right? Yeah. Tell me about that.
I have a really awesome spreadsheet going for all of our summer programming. I do plan to announce our full lineup of summer programs at the Community Health Fair, which Julie, I think, is going to talk more about as well. But I think I have about 1,500 hours worth of programming planned so far, including some new programs. So trying to just keep kids busy throughout the summer and outside and connecting with their peers and positive role models.
Nice. And I saw online you guys are hiring for positions too.
We are. Okay. Yeah, we're always looking for all weather mentors. Who are ready to kind of dive into the adventure. So looking for, they have to be over 15, but also really looking for some more adults to help with all of our programming options that we have available this year.
Nice. Well, I look forward to hearing about all these summer programs and hopefully soon.
Yeah. Fingers crossed we have decent weather too, because that always makes summer camp a little more enjoyable.
Yes. Though it seems like the kids you work with are willing down in any weather.
They're very hardy. Yeah.
I've been impressed with that. As someone who's not from the Southeast, I'm very impressed with that.
Yep. They're born with webbed feet. They can handle the puddles.
Well, Katie, before we move on from you, you have won an award.
Yeah.
You have gotten the 40 Under 40 Award. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put up everyone's mics because I know they might want to talk about it. Tell me about learning that you were one of the 40 Under 40 people in the state.
Well, it was unexpected. Definitely not not something that was needed, but definitely appreciated. And I think it highlights, I wrote in my SCOG blog too, it highlights what can happen when a community really invests in our kids. And I think that this award, even though it's an individual award, it feels kind of, I keep telling people, it feels sort of ridiculous to be recognized individually for what is truly a community effort. But really trying to highlight the fact that when we can come together and put kids first and invest in them, really good things can happen for all of us.
Yeah, totally. Phil or Julie, would you like to talk about Katie and the work that she does in this award?
Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
Now you have nothing to say.
I'll start. Crickets. I don't know how she got that award. No, Katie is so deserving of this award. She's just, I've been working with her for several years now, and she's an inspiration and a really great leader. So she just does amazing work, and I agree with her in saying that it is a team effort, and she has amazing people working for her, but she leads them in a way that is very admirable, and is really working to, she's worked to grow the Kinderskog program so much. It has, you know, more than doubled in the last couple of years, and she's added on the Orca camps, and just her innovation, her ideas, she takes them from what if we did this to making it happen and seeing it in action and hearing from the families, my family being one of them that has benefited from the programs. She's definitely deserving of this award, and it's pretty cool that that she's one of the, if not the only one in Southeast, one of the only ones in Southeast this year. A lot of the awardees are from up north and from all sorts of different areas, different businesses and types of programs. But this is a Alaska Journal of Commerce award, I think, and it's pretty neat to see her receive that award. So she should be proud. I know it's, you know, she's very humble, but she should be proud, and we're very proud of her. So yeah. I'll pass to Phil if you want to add anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it's just echoing a lot of what Julie was saying, just seeing the program grow. It's really inspirational to me. I've been, you know, a couple of times I come in on where the kids are doing you know, the bike group in the summertime, or I came in on a debrief with the staffing, you know, when we're out and kayaking and doing a staff meeting out in the environment, and seeing how that gets conducted with the level of professionalism and the inspirational is just like, to me, it's such a model for youth and the ability to grow the program and develop it even further so we can meet the needs of, you know, all youth in the community. It's just such a amazing thing. And, you know, I think to me, it's an easy one because it's such an inspiration. I always look at it as a department of not just youth, but like a model for health and wellness. I mean, it's such a, you know, the outcomes and some of the comments from the kids and seeing just observation and seeing it, it's just really, again, it's really inspirational. So, you know, and Katie is the leader behind that. So it's amazing.
Yeah. Congratulations, Katie, on that award.
Thank you.
Involved with youth in the community. It was really cool to see.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for the Kinderskog updates. So excited for this summer. And speaking of things that tie to Kinderskog, Julie, you have all sorts of health fair things, some of which connect to the Skoggies. Do you want to talk to me about the health fair?
Sure. Well, we are in our second of 3 weeks, week two of three of the blood draws. So I think we talked about that last time, but if folks aren't aware, it's discounted blood draws that are available. They're out-of-pocket costs, so we don't bill insurance. They're discounted preventive screenings. We only offer them every 2 years, so some people, that's the only time they ever get those tests done. It's been pretty full. It's been pretty busy. And we've got one more week left. There are still spots available for next week, so people can visit our website if they'd like to schedule one of those tests. We'd encourage them to do that. And then we're just switching gears, getting ready for the actual health fair, which happens at the community gym at Parks and Rec on Saturday, March 14th. So lots of things going on there. So plans. We've got booths. From local and regional partners, so they'll have information, resources on health and wellness, prizes, different activities for all ages. We have a pretty good lineup of folks coming to that to host tables, including youth programs. So again, come find out about what those summer program offerings are at the health fair. Katie's also going to be giving a talk. So one of our one of the other things we do is scheduled presentations in the activity room. And so we have several different people, including Katie. Katie's going to be doing a talk on risky, not reckless play for kids. And she'll be our first speaker. And then we'll have Phil will be the next one. So lucky me, I got both of you here. He'll be talking about hearing. So Phil's an audiologist, and we'll be talking about things you thought you knew about hearing but didn't. Then we'll have Angela Manish, one of our nurse practitioners, talking about understanding your health fair blood draw results. So those that got the tests and want to know, what does this mean? Or I'm high on this and I'm freaking out. No, if you're high on something, if something's out of the normal, you will get a phone call from the clinic. But if you just want to learn a little more about what those blood draws are, there's a talk on that. There's also going to be a presentation on strength training for lifelong health by Dr. Hulebeck. And then lastly, we have our guest speaker, Peter Klein, and he will be kind of an inspirational talk. He's the founder of a nonprofit called Marathons with Meaning, and he actually started running at the age of 52, and he started running marathons and it runs for a cause. So he finds individuals, mostly youth with a disability or a health condition that makes it so that they can't run or they can't run long distances, and he actually pushes them in marathons. And he's now 72, so he's been doing this for a very long time, and he's done several marathons and ultra running events. So he's going to come and talk about his kind of his inspiration, his path in life, what he does, and his talk is called Stronger Than Yesterday, Choosing Health, Embracing Change, and Living with Purpose. And so he'll be speaking at the health fair, and then we have an event on Sunday after that with him, a fun run. I'll pause in case you have any questions about the health fair.
We've covered so much ground, so much more than last week. Well, that's perfect. We did talk about those blood draws last week. You just pay straight up, no insurance.
Correct.
Yes. I've known quite a few people who have gotten their blood drawn these last few weeks. It sounds like you guys are very booked and busy.
Yeah, we're busy, and it's nice you get your results the day of. So
day of.
Yeah, it's very smooth. Unless you get a vitamin D, it's a send out a few days. But still, I mean, it's just people log into that patient portal and they get their results right away, probably before they even get the phone call from the provider that something was high. They already know. So it's pretty cool.
Incredible. And then for this health fair, I mean, so many things. So this really feels like it's an event for all ages.
Yes.
Everyone can show up and learn something.
Yeah. And we have fitness class demonstrations too. I forgot to
mention.
Wow. So we'll be demonstrating our Tai Chi program, our bingo size program, and also the Zumba ladies will be giving a little Zumba demo. So if people can come out, try those classes, learn about them. No commitment, you know, just a quick free 15 minutes.
Nice. And if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to, but do you have something you're most excited about, Julie? I know you're planning this, so if you don't want to answer.
I think the hearing talks.
Yeah, why is it their talks?
I guess they spoke for me. I am most excited to hear Phil talk about hearing and Katie talk about risky play. I think it's just... it's a lot of work that goes into it, and so my favorite part is always like when it's actually happening and seeing the people coming and seeing things going smoothly and you know, peeking in on those presentations and going, oh, okay, there's 20 people going to that talk. That's good. Like, we chose a good topic, a good presenter. I don't always get to listen to the presentations, but getting to see that it is well attended and that people are getting you know, connecting with resources, it's always really fun.
Nice. And I'm sure we'll talk more about this in the future, but then tell me about this fun run.
Yeah, just real quick, this is our first ever Extra Tough fun run walk stroll event. It's a 5K. It'll be on Sunday. So Peter Klein, our guest speaker, is actually going to stay an extra day. He wanted to do a run while he was here. Sunday, March 15th, we'll be at 2:00 at Sandy Beach. And it is a fundraiser for our youth programs. We're going to use the funds to increase accessibility for our programs. So that means scholarships, decreasing barriers for people entering the program, but also any adaptive equipment that may be needed. We're kind of inspired by Phil, not Phil.
Oh, yes.
Peter, we are inspired by Phil. But this was inspired by Peter. Sorry, Phil. Yeah, inspired by that, his efforts and his story. So that's what the fundraiser is for. You can pre-register at Lee's if you'd like, or you
we
can register
really
the day.
We have some really fun shirts.
Oh yeah, the shirts
Lee's
are
too.
Cool. They've got an extra
very bright
boot
colored
with some splash of mud, and they are bright colored, so really fun. Yeah, so that's a family-friendly event. It should be a good time, and we encourage people to wear extra tufts or extra tough gear if they don't want to wear their boots. They have an extra tough shirt or something. But yeah.
And Kinderskog is planning to bring, we purchased our first, like, bigger piece of adaptive equipment called a Huckleberry Hiker, which allows for a rider to ride along with us, essentially, in this fat tire chariot kind of thing. But it's an all-terrain kind of device, vehicle, that a Sherpa would pull. And so it allows kids to get down onto the beach or to the sand dunes, or if you're feeling really ambitious, up Raven's Roost. So we're going to have that at the Extra Tough run, walk, stroll as well, hopefully with a rider athlete cruising along with a mentor as well.
Yes, we are looking for, Peter would love to push a youth in this event. It's not a race, this event. So we are looking for a family that has a child that might want to participate in that, that otherwise wouldn't be able to walk or run a 5K. Peter would love to have them, and he's going to bring up one of the stroller devices that he uses in the runs.
Very cool.
So, yeah. If anyone's listening, give us a call.
Okay. Very cool. I feel like between this and the news that the school is working on adaptive playground equipment, a lot of really cool adaptive things happening in the community right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important.
The push that adaptive just kind of becomes the norm, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't have to be extra things necessarily for accessibility. It just should be what we are doing.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I want to move on to Phil, but before I do, anything that we missed, Julie, that folks should know?
No, that was a lot. Please come to the health fair.
There's a lot of things happening.
A lot of things happening.
Okay. Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Julie. Phil, I hear you just got back from a legislative fly-in.
I did,
How did that go?
Yeah. You know, it was every year we have the legislative fly-in with the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association, so it was part of that event. Interesting year because, you know, legislature is just getting together and kind of getting a sense of where things are. And I believe some of the budgetary process is probably going to be very similar. But the big difference this year is the Rural Healthcare Transformation Funds and how that plays into all things related to healthcare. And so we had a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion, and you know, most of the focus has been around that and what kind of projects we'll be doing. A lot of interest from representatives and senators on what those projects are. Of course, I'm spent a lot of time with advocacy related to the facility and new facility project and our replacement facility project, which unfortunately the funds don't cover. So again, I'm pushing a request to delegation to help with some of that language for next year's funds to help capture construction costs for these funds to for appropriate projects, which PMC is one of. So, mm-hmm. or, you know, I'm saying we're one of. You
know? Want to be one so, of, yeah.
And you know, so, you know, a lot of it is just, there's still some uncertainty around, you know, a lot of the projects. We're submitting 7 projects that we primarily prioritized and want to get funded around behavioral health, telehealth. We even though construction is not part of it, we're requesting planning architectural designs, which have a significant amount on these next phases as well. Some of the prevention projects, home-based care projects, I think are ones that we are capturing to get some funding and developing a program. And it's categorized and by innovation, technical assistance, implementation, if you're ready to implement. And then I think, did I say innovation already? There's innovation planning, innovation, implementation, and technical assistance. Those are sort of the buckets of categories that state is defining. And a lot of it is going to be how, not necessarily how the state wants it to be, but between the state and how CMS, which is the regulator on the federal side, Center for Medicare and Medicaid, how they define the requirements of the project. So, you know, there's a little uncertainty around that, and what can we do? What can we access those funding, and how do we have to report out on the funding after they're received? Those are all things that we want to make sure we capture properly, and especially in this year one.
Mm-hmm. And if someone's listening and not entirely up to date on the Rural Healthcare Transformation Fund, this is 5 years of federal funding that's coming from the feds to the state down to us. Still first year figuring out what a lot of that looks like. And I remember last time I spoke to you about this, I did a story a while back. You had not yet been able to submit projects. Have you been able to submit projects now?
Yeah, the portal is open. Actually, it opened last week while we were in Juneau. So Katie, our director of strategies and grants, was there in Juneau, and so she was extra busy because we were able to submit. We have to submit 7. We have until, it's a pretty fast turnaround. I think March 22nd is the close. So the letter of interest is what they opened, and we're submitting those 7 items, and hopefully we can get good feedback and more information as we learn it.
And is there a timeline for when you'll know if they accept or don't accept your projects?
I don't know the answer to that. I would assume very quickly, because we are actually in the first fiscal year. And so I have a few unanswered questions, like if we have projects already we're doing, can we go back and capture that funding for what we're already doing, or do we have to go point forward? You know, those kinds of things I just don't know yet.
Yeah, because there's a tight turnaround to mm-hmm. spend this funding.
That's right, yeah.
You have a year.
Yeah, you have 24 months total, but mm-hmm. you have to, there's definitely, it's a quick turnaround. I mean, it's a lot of funding. It's $272 million for the state that has to be spent and as defined by CMS and the state, so.
Yeah, okay, well, I look forward to more updates as we know more. Anything else, Phil, that we're missing that we should talk about?
No, I think that's it. What's that? Oh, the specialties. Oh, yeah. We, you know, one of our priorities has been really bringing specialties to Petersburg. And this week we have Dr. Sankas here, who's a psychiatrist that we've been working with through telehealth. And he is here on site. So he does periodic visits in Petersburg. And that's a referral based. He's providing training to our medical staff and also seeing some patients as well. And then we have optometry coming
next week.
Thank you, Julie. And tell me more. You
colonoscopy. We have a return of the colonoscopy clinic.
We're very excited.
Will be
yes.
April 2nd and 3rd, I believe. And then we have dermatology is also coming in April. I can't remember the exact dates, but I think 13th, somewhere around that mid-April timeline. So I think anybody that's interested in any of those can call the clinic and get more information about when those are and how do I get on the list, find out if you're eligible for a colonoscopy in Petersburg, what that entails. But yeah, really excited to bring, especially that colonoscopy.
The colonoscopy has been huge. Yeah, just had ours, and then having it on a recurring basis has been very important. So
How was that first colonoscopy clinic at beginning of February, right?
Everything went well. It's hard to do a pretty heavy project like that because there's a lot of steps to it, and making sure it's done properly and safely and getting that going. Once you get going a couple of times, it's a lot easier. But, you know, starting and stopping has been such a challenge. So I really hand it to the nursing staff on really leading that front and getting it done properly. And we're excited to have them back.
Yeah, I remember talking to Jennifer Briner about the colonoscopies, how exciting that was. She said there was a long list of people waiting for colonoscopies, so I'm sure there'll be folks very excited to hear that they're back.
Yeah, it's very important, so thank you.
Perfect. Okay, in our last few minutes, anything else that we've missed?
I think you covered it all.
Perfect. That's what I love to hear. Well, then we'll wrap up there. Thank you all for joining me today. We had Phil Hofstetter, Julie Walker, and Katie Homeland talking with me. PMC's board meetings airing here today, KFSK. That's at 5:30. It's on a Wednesday instead of a Thursday. It is 12:58.